Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Well, no, I believe in the power of this person. I believe in, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to do this about it. Like, that's going to do jack shit. This person needs serious mental health help.
Yeah.
And we're not willing to give it to them. We don't have the means to give it to them. Your positive thinking is great, and it makes you feel good, so you can go home and not have to deal with any of the chaos that this person is inflicting in other people's lives. But you can feel good about it. You can say, I gave that guy a chance. And I wonder, did Judge Dwight here, did he feel like that when he went home that day? He saw the report from the parenting classes that Jake checked those boxes. He showed up, because many of them don't. I mean, a lot of the parents that are assigned this shit, they don't. They just continue to squander their life away, and then their children are left to the system. But this guy, he did. He went to the classes. There's no class that's going to teach anything different or fix someone who literally crushed their child's skull and then lied about it forever. And now she's maimed forever. But he did. So the judge is looking at this. Oh, he went to the classes. And for whatever asinine reason, he thought, I'm going to give you another chance. Do you think he walked away that day going, oh, that guy did that stuff. That's a positive. It's making me feel good that he's out there doing that, that he's going to be rehabilitated. And we're giving someone a second chance at life here.
I would love to be having a conversation with that judge at this point, because did he walk away feeling good that day? He very well may have. And he may be a very kind person who sees himself as always trying to do the right thing. And I'm sure he tries, mm-hmm. but boy, it's just sickening. And I would hate to be him. And I would be very interested in having a conversation with how is he making sense of this? And are judges getting together and talking about it? Mm-hmm. Because I think it would be something that would be a really important topic. If judges had conferences where they all got together or sat down with clinicians and said, what can we do about doing a better job here? I mean, I think that's where the talk needs to go.
Well, that's the big problem in half of this world. I mean, they're a piece of this puzzle. They're not the ultimate solution, but they also have no accountability either. Right. And that's the problem. They can make horrible choices. He can keep, and I'm not saying he did this, but a judge could keep flowing people through their courtroom, yep, giving every positive thought in the world. You get a second chance. You get a second chance. You get a second chance. Everybody gets a second chance after they beat the shit out of their kids. Yay. And have the Oprah moment, you know, or they can take a look at the situation and realize, yeah, people kind of suck. And there's a lot of really low functioning human beings out there that were able to do these horrible, horrible things. And if we just look at any sort of track record, most of them don't ever change. So are we giving too much chance? Are we giving too much assumption that people have the capacity to change when it comes to their treatment of children? We seem to have very little tolerance when it comes to drug use and things of that. Like, oh, we got to put you away for a long time. But when it comes to like taking care of children, of course. Well, that it's a mother. Of course she'll be great. It's a father. Of course he'll be great. We seem to just, well, if they have them, They must know what to do, or did they lose the instruction manual? Well, go this weekend. We'll give you a new one.
Yeah, if I got to be judge, you hurt a child ever. I mean, in a serious injury, you break a bone, you fracture a limb, you hit a child in the head, you're done. You don't have a children. You know, we're not allowing you to be around anyone's children or have your own children if you hurt a child. There shouldn't be second chances. There's just something so wrong with someone who inflicts a serious injury on a child.
But aren't we in a world in our country where it's almost like... Staffing. It's a staffing problem is really what it is. We have police departments that are desperate for cops. So we end up getting really, you know, bottom of the barrel applicants getting jobs and then having tremendous power over their communities. We see this in all sorts of places where it's hard to get people to fill the position. Yeah. It's hard to get people to fill the position of being parents. And there's not exactly an overabundance of them out there when we do recognize these sort of horrible parenting failures to say, okay, this is, you're done. We're going to give this to a loving family that really could take care of it. That doesn't exist. The ones that do exist, they want a baby. They want a fresh start. And I don't blame them. They don't want essentially damaged goods. And I know that's very harsh to say, but I'm just for the sake of the argument, people don't necessarily want to sign up with somebody that's been traumatized 50 ways to Tuesday by their horrible parents and then try to help them along. They're not capable. They're not in a place to help that child get along after all of that damage. But we sit there and we allow these parents to do this. Is it because there isn't an alternative?
I think often that's the case, unfortunately. We've talked, you and I, before about the need for more foster care because we've got a tremendous shortage and we don't have orphanages anymore, which is a good thing. We want kids in foster homes, but what do you do when you don't have enough foster homes?
Well, is it a good thing? I mean, the old days, what we think of as orphanages in, you know, historic context, yeah, they weren't the greatest. I mean, the same with state mental hospitals. Some were horrific. Some were lovely. But I would think at this day and age, we could get a better grip on these concepts.
I'm going to step in for a second. And I say this as somebody who watched somebody with dementia in assisted living. And it was, I think, I want to say $1,200 a month for that care. And while it wasn't horrific, but it was subpar.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can't we do these things better? Instead of just going, well, it was shitty over here for this person. It was horrible in the past over here. Yes, it was, without a doubt. Let's do better. Let's try and reinvent these concepts because they did serve a purpose. There was a reason these things existed. And I don't know that not having them has really helped anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Ideally, if kids are going to be in a situation where they're going to thrive, it would be in a small family type environment rather than in some kind of large institution. Could that be done? Could we incentivize the situation for people to start small family residential, if you want to just call it a residential treatment home or something like that? I think that could be done, but we'd have to prioritize it and situations where kids can be raised in a situation where we know that they're not being beaten and treated poorly. It should be possible.
I've got some friends who actually, they thrive on grabbing, and I'm going to boil it down to like walking through a humane society and walking in and saying, give me the one that you're about to euthanize. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that one home. And that's who these people are with foster children. They go for the ones that have been horrifically abused and they're lovely people. They have a very loving home, but they can only take two or three. And there's so many in the system and not everybody is built for that. Not everybody wants to put that kind of commitment in. So I think that's a really tall order. There's just not enough people out there with, as we said, capacity to do this. And it's sad.
I mean, ideally, it would be wonderful if we had homes out there where we had people that could do this. That's where I guess my argument is, well, what's the second best thing? Is it having more of a it's more of a community setting. It's not as small knit as we'd like it to be on a family type setting, but it is more of an orphanage. And maybe we just change the name to something different so it doesn't have such horrible stigma to it. But it would be more of a community living center where the kids aren't being beaten. They are taken care of. And I know some of these, they do exist to a certain extent, but to have more places like this that are policed better so they are safe and we don't have a lot of issues with them, I would say I'd rather send the kid there than to some of the homes that are foster homes that are basically taking in kids for cash so they can get an extra check every month.
Yeah, it is being done. And in fact, I worked in a program like that was for short-term placement for kids when they were taken from their biological family who had abused them. And before they could find an ongoing foster home situation for them, it was a short-term residential treatment program for young kids. I worked in some for teenagers. This is going back into the 1980s. So a long time ago, we had them. And you had people who were like me right out of college. We were excited. We were enthused. And we would come in and rotate through on shifts. And, you know, so there was 24-hour coverage there to basically reparent the kids. Mm-hmm. And it was benevolent. It was kind. The kids were well cared for. And is it as ideal as having your own family? No. But if your family is abusive, it's certainly better than that. And it was not a big institutional orphanage kind of setting. So could it be done? Sure, it could be done.
Do we need more of that? Do we need more of that? Do we need many more of them? So when the warning signs are there after Jake barely, you know, almost murdered his first daughter, and now she's maimed and going to live the rest of her life like that. So the first time that happens, we can look ahead and see, oh God, this guy reproduced. He should have been away to begin with, but if there is no other place for these kids to go, we're not just sitting here going, well, he hasn't hurt this one yet.
Yeah. That's the thing that I think on this case is so disturbing, is the fact that the first child will never be normal. I mean, mm-hmm. she is permanently disabled. And so then to go back and have a second attempt here mm-hmm. with another child. Yeah, if I were the judge, if I had the power, this person simply cannot reproduce, you know? What can we do about that? That people are reproducing who we don't have places to raise these children the right way, and we don't want to see these little babies tortured. It's like, what in the world do we do?
Can judges anywhere order like castration anymore? Can that be done? Can that be done for anybody? After I would think like Jay Caro would have been a prime candidate for such a thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's done here. Maybe Saudi Arabia or something. Yeah.
Should we have that? I guess that's the question, because everyone go, oh, that's horrible. That's crazy. Well, if you're not abusing the shit out of your children, you have nothing to worry about.
Right.
If you are abusing the shit out of your children, you should be a little bit scared. And the rest of us should have zero pity for it. I don't think anyone would have really objected that Jake's rights were being stepped on in case he wanted to make more kids if he was castrated. I know it sounds extreme, but the extreme shit these people are doing to children, we just seem to look the other way on that.
Yeah, it's one of those around the dinner table conversations that we could just sit and go, what in the world do we do? I mean, I just think you should have to have a competency test before any of your sexual parts function, you know?
That'd be great.
Like your competency as a human being in the real world before you can be sexually active.
Birth rates would plummet because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. no one would be competent. What do you think the percentage would be if the entire population had to take that test, and what percentage of the United States population would pass that test?
I could write a really strict test. I could be pretty strict about what the standards are. Yeah.
As we go into the dystopian world, as we all take it over, I don't think a lot of people will be excited about that planet, but I think it might be a little more peaceful. I don't know.
Yeah. Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.